And now, Jim Dearman.
Most normal beings are more or less interested in travel. We like to go places, we like to see things. And people will spend much time and money in traveling to the more interesting places of this world of ours. But one day, we are all going on a long journey. This journey will take us out of this present world and will take us into the world to come. Everyone should be impressed with the solemnity of the last journey we will take. Sometimes here, we start journeys and then we turn back, or we go to the end of our journey, then we come back to where we started. But in this last journey, there is no returning. There is no turning back. Job said that when a few years are come, I shall go the way that I shall not return, he said. And well did this grand old patriarch know that it would not be long until he would go on that journey. We would be infinitely better off if we also appreciated this solemn fact. James said, we don't know what's on the morrow. What is your life? It's a vapor, he said, that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And the psalmist long ago in Psalm 90 and verse 10 wrote, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. David had to give up his little boy, even as many have been called upon to give up their loved ones. And after his little boy's death, David asked, can I bring him back again? And he answered, I can go to him, but he cannot return to me. Thanks be to God for this blessed hope, the hope of reunion one day with the faithful who have gone on. The joy of an earthly journey is enhanced by congenial companionships. When we take our last journey, we must make it without earthly friends. They cannot go with us. If permitted to do so, they will go with us to the river's edge, but we must cross without them. It's a farewell to earth. It's a farewell to earthly things. It is a solemn journey. And just about the most solemn thing connected with it is the fact that this journey leads us to the judgment bar of God. The writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 9:27 that it's appointed to man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. How profoundly thankful we ought to be that we have the assurance, however, that we may make this journey safely. But there are at least three essentials for the safety of this journey we're talking about today. First, we must take the Bible as our guide. We have never been over the road. We need a guide. In making our earthly journeys, we spend much time with road maps. We want to know the way. We want all the available information. But of how much greater importance to take the Bible as our guide in matters of religion? The psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And Paul declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. One may make this last journey safely without knowing the doctrines and commandments of men, but one cannot make it safely without knowing the doctrine of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But not only do we need to take the Bible as our guide on this journey, we also need to make adequate preparation if we're going to make this last journey safely. When we're going for a journey of a few days or weeks here on this earth, we do spend time preparing. We get ready for the trip. So many are daily departing this life without having made any preparation at all. A prophet of old called out and said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And remember the wise man Solomon's advice when he said, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. This is the whole duty of man. But the idea is, this is the whole of man. This is all of man's existence, is to spend his life fearing God, keeping God's commandments. But in the third place, to make our last journey safely, we must secure companionship. Whose companionship? That of the Lord. We have already seen that earthly friends cannot cross the river of death with us, but the Lord can. To have Him with us in death, however, we must have Him with us in life. Remember the familiar words of the psalmist, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Verse 4 of that very well-known 23rd Psalm. Of course, we secure the companionship of the Lord by obeying Him. Remember, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We become Christians by doing what the Lord says, and the Lord says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16:16. That's just too plain to be misunderstood. Who is it that's going to be saved? He who believes and is baptized. The devil would have us believe that we may be saved without doing what Jesus says. But we become Christians by obeying Jesus. We remain Christians by obeying Jesus. Because Jesus also said, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2, verse 10. So we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For Jesus said in John 8:24 that unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We must also repent of our sins, because Jesus said that unless we repent, we will all in like manner perish. Luke 13:3, and again at verse 5, those words are repeated by our Lord. But we must also confess Him. Jesus said that if we confess Him before men, He will also confess us before the Father in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 32. And we must be baptized, buried with Him. That's what baptism is. Buried with Him in baptism, where His blood cleanses us from all sin. Because again, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And on the day of Pentecost, following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus back to the Father, to those who cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ," he said, "for the remission of your sins." That's too plain to be misunderstood also, isn't it? And then living faithfully until death, that is, even in death, we are to be faithful, and in doing so, we have the assurance of the crown of life. What is that crown of life? It's life itself as a crown. What kind of life? Eternal life as our crown. So, what is the end of our journey, the last journey? You know, we're always interested in our destination, aren't we? When we've been away on a journey, we long for home, and oh, how do we think of home and loved ones while we're away? Well, so it is with the Christian. You see, as he lives on this earth, the Christian is away from home. That's right. He's away from his eternal home. He thinks much of the journey's end, and the nearer he comes to it, the sweeter becomes the anticipated joy. Death means rest for the child of the King. That's what the Revelation letter points out in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. There, the inspired writer says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Not all dead people are happy, but those who die in the Lord are. Of course, we cannot die in the Lord unless we have been in Him while we have lived. And we are not in Him unless we've been baptized into Him, as we have already seen in our study together today. There's no other way. No other way. Go back to the book of Romans and see what the Apostle Paul wrote to those Roman Christians as to what they had done to be in Christ. He reminded them of what they had done, as he asked in Romans 6:3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Go on in verse 4. "Therefore we were buried," he says, "with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Yes, we're buried with Him by baptism into death. We're raised to walk in newness of life. The same writer, the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, wrote these words, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There it is. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do we put on Christ? Through the watery grave of baptism, the likeness of his own death, burial, and resurrection, where his blood cleanses us from every sin, that is where we put on Christ. May God help us to do all his commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, the heavenly city. You see, our last journey is a solemn journey indeed. But it may be a completely safe one if we will take the Bible as our guide. And specifically, for those of us living today or whoever shall live until the Lord comes again, the New Testament is that final authority of God to man. This is the last will and testament of Jesus, the New Testament. It is his word that will judge us in the last day. John 12:48, he makes that very clear. And so take the New Testament as your guide. Make adequate preparation and secure the companionship of the Lord by rendering sweet obedience to his will. And if you do that, the end of the journey is eternal life with God and with Christ and with the faithful of all the ages.